Yeah, great. Thank you all for squeezing in with us to talk about tennis and pickleball and courts in Boulder. We're really glad you're here. So I'm Allie Rhodes. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation in the City of Boulder. I've worked for the city for 21 years. And I'm really excited to talk to you all tonight about courts. I know it's a long time coming. I know some of you are frustrated. But the time is now, and we're here to talk to you about tennis and pickleball, and it's gonna be great. I always tell people as director, I have two key functions. One is to make sure our team delivers on a high-quality parks and recreation system that this community values so highly, right? More than most communities around the country. You support well-being, you care about it deeply, and we're glad of that. My other job is to support these amazing humans standing behind me, the staff of the Parks and Recreation Department. And so in a minute, I'm going to talk about some of our guidelines for a productive atmosphere. I know Boulderites are very aware of the tension in national media, there's social tension. And so we worked with over 300 community members to create guidelines for productive civic conversations. And I look forward to you joining us in that. First, let me just talk about what is a court system plan. It sounds like a lot of words when you just want some courts. Here's what it is. We have three key deliverables in this project. First, we have 28 courts in the Parks and Recreation system that we operate and maintain. We have not had a plan for how they should be operated and shared, or not, with pickleball and tennis. Our ad hoc approach has been to add some pickleball lines to some tennis courts and share until we have a plan. By the end of December, one of the first deliverables will be related to the current system of courts that we have. What is the best way to allocate them among tennis, pickleball, board share, paddles coming in hot? We're going to try and think about that in a systemic way. We know everybody wants the courts by the bathroom in the shade. We know nobody wants the courts in the middle of the neighborhood. So we're going to do our best to balance that. That's by December. Then in Q1, we'll have the second deliverables. The next one is based on the growth in both tennis and pickleball, and based on what we heard across the community last year, and we were developing our department-wide plan, we know there's more demand than there is supply. So we're assessing our system, the land that we own in the city of Boulder. Where could we build more courts? While we don't have funding to build courts, if we can identify locations and develop costing, we can position ourselves to build more courts. Whether that's through additional tax dollars, whether that's through philanthropy or grants, we want to be ready so that when someone has a check, we can start digging. The third deliverable, and you all are aware, we know that there is a change in the inventory in the community on the private side. We know that Rocky Mountain Tennis Center is changing with the development of the Millennium, and the courts at CU South will also be going away as CU develops that master plan property. And that's putting a lot of pressure on tennis and indoor tennis. And so we will explore if there is a role for the city of Boulder in an indoor court facility, and if so, what does that look like? That requires a full feasibility study. The city doesn't just build and operate things without being very, very thoughtful about it. So that's our third deliverable. So you're gonna hear more about the plan from our team. I think what you should know, I guess I appreciate all of you coming out on a Wednesday night. I know it's a beautiful fall evening. There's other things you can be doing. Again, I just want to reiterate what I said in the cafeteria for folks who may not have heard. Attendance and numbers at this meeting will not inform any decision. If you decide to opt out at any point tonight, because you're standing or sitting and uncomfortable with your new 140 best friends. This meeting is being recorded. We'll have it on our website by the 11th. Is that what I heard? We'll have the meeting on the website by the 11th. The best way we're going to get input during this window of engagement is through a questionnaire that is also available online. It's posted today, and that is online through
the 18th.
Through the 18th. So we love seeing your faces. We love seeing you care about health and well-being as much as we do. But if you do decide to opt out at some point, know that you can still get your input.
Then next, I'm going to talk about the productive atmospheres.
So the city of Boulder believes deeply in delivering on democracy every day. We want to make sure community conversations are safe, they are welcoming, and then they are accessible to everyone in our community and to our teammates. And so we worked with, I mentioned earlier, over 300 community members for this vision for productive and inclusive civic conversations. This vision supports physical and emotional safety for everyone, as well as promoting democracy for people of all ages, identity, lived experiences, and political perspectives. We will take steps to uphold this vision as we gather together in civic dialogue and conduct city business. So there's some words up here that could mean different things to all of us, but it really is that we hope to have a dialogue. When we're talking, you're listening, and when you're listening, when you're talking, we'll listen. We hope to be receptive and responsive. With this plan, we are consulting with the community. And what that means is we're going to hear from you, and your ideas will be reflected in the plan. And where your ideas could not be included in the plan, we will explain why. So if someone says, Allie, I got a great idea, you can put pickleball courts on the roof of the North Boulder Rec Center, I would say, we heard you. Thank you for that idea. That is probably not feasible because it's a very thin membrane roof with solar panels on it. But thank you for sharing. So that's just an example of, we know you have ideas. They're not all implementable, but we will hear them all, and we will try and do a feedback on them all. Power. This is talking about, some of us have power in the room by our positions. I'm the director of Parks and Recreation. There's some power there. Some of us have power because of our roles, because of our backgrounds. And so we just ask that everyone think about the other voices in the room and making sure that we're making space for everyone. We try to be inclusive and organized. Charlotte and the team, you'll meet them. They did a great job tonight getting the space available for us. And look at that. I put receptive and responsive twice. So that means it's really important to us. We're going to be responsive. If you're curious to learn more about this, you could just Google City of Boulder Productive Atmospheres. You could write this really long URL, but you could also just Google City of Boulder Productive Atmosphere. There's a lot of really great people working in our community with the city to make government more accessible and a little more fun for people. So thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it. With that, I'm going to turn it over to some of my teammates, to Ms. Charlotte O'Donnell.
Thanks so much, Allie. And Echo, Allie, thank you all so much for coming. It's squeezing into this biggest room you could get. My name is Charlotte O'Donnell. I'm a city planner with the Parks Department, City of Boulder, and I'm here working on this project for the court system plan. Before we dive into the court system plan, I want to give some background in terms of the policy we all already have in place and how we even develop policies. So this is the boring part of the presentation. Bear with me.
No, not for Allie.
Allie loves policy. All right, so we start with the foundation of sustainability, equity, and resilience. Those are some of our key city values. After that, we start with community engagement, what we're all doing here tonight, and as Allie echoed, will be available online, including the questionnaire that's already available. In addition to community engagements, community engagement will be, for this project, a consult level. We're looking to ask for your ideas. There might not be the end results, but we will respond to those ideas we receive. Research, that's part of where Mike Spence, who's here with PROS Consulting, is going to come in. They will help us understand best practices, trends, site conditions, and more. And then finally, policy, as I mentioned. So including our master plan that I know many of you were with us when we updated in 2022. Oh, Pina, thank you. So these are just a few key points from our master plan. I'm not going to read through them all. Again, some of you might recognize them. Off to the side is our key themes. And so what that means is these are what we heard from the community and what we understand from best practices are the most important. Under these big categories, we then have goals and initiatives. So in terms of taking care of what we have, investing in post-tension concrete, investing in resurfacing our courts, and how we're already implementing that in terms of courts. But here's some more detail in terms of courts. And you can see there's a number of other priorities just in this one chart from the master plan. There's athletic fields, there's rec centers, there's aquatics, there's reservoir. And on the pages and pages that follow, there's a lot of different communities we can serve. But for courts, I talked about the maintaining well and the investments we've already made since 2022 to change how we're investing in courts. To do this study that also seeks opportunities to maximize community benefit through joint use and partnerships. And then our consultants are also going to help us explore through this system plan, these next two categories, action and vision, what can we do with some more courts, some more funding? And so with that, I'm going to have Mike Spence, who's here, dive into the court system plan. We're really excited to have the pros consulting on board. They actually did our aquatics feasibility study, so had a room full of this, like, with our aquatics people in 2015. And that plan resulted ultimately in construction at Scott Carpenter Park, as well as many other improvements. So, yeah, great. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Charlotte. Folks, round of applause for City Board. So, show of hands, how many people are here for tennis? Okay. Show of hands, how many people are here for pickleball? Okay. Show of hands, how many people are here for both? All right. So, just want to get a pretty good understanding of the audience, right? So, it's pretty split, right? And so, I just kind of wanted to get an understanding of who the audience is. And so, as we kind of go through the rest of this short presentation, I wanted to be able to provide some context to you all. So I am Mike Stutz. I'm a principal with Pros Consulting. I'm also a recovering Parks and Recreation Director. And probably the best analogy I can make in terms of a situation or a city in which I've been a Parks and Recreation Director that is similar to Boulder is Charlottesville, Virginia. So I was a director there for a number of years, university town, very similar in terms of demographics, but also one of the, I think, three communities in the country that have a pedestrian mall, Charlottesville, Burlington, and Boulder. So I do have a lot of familiarity with regards to working successfully in university towns. And you all are wonderful. You all are different. And part of why you're different and why you're wonderful is you're exceptionally passionate and you're exceptionally energetic and you are very much advocates for what you truly believe in. And I think that's one thing that this room really shows before I get into it any further is there's a lot of passion and there's a lot of energy around pickleball and tennis in Boulder. Can we all agree to that?
Yes.
That's it. That's all I get. All right. So I am a part of a two-pronged team in addition to obviously you all. You are the City of Boulder. You are who we are doing this work for. We are doing the work with the Parks and Recreation Department, and we're also doing it with a nationally recognized landscape architect firm called WRT. They have headquarters in offices in San Francisco, Denver, and Philadelphia. So we work with them all over the country, and they are our technical experts when it comes to understanding landscape architecture, engineering design. We are also working very, very closely with national organizations as it relates to pickleball and tennis so that you understand that we are going to ground truth our recommendations, not only with the department, not only with you, but also with the best practice agencies that govern your two sports. Next slide. So what are we going to address? I think this has been very well kind of understood, but in kind of laywomen's terms, what is needed, where, and why? This is really kind of fundamental. What's the vision for tennis and pickleball? What are the community's priorities? What are the experiences that are most important to you? And then very importantly, in this City of Boulder right now, the City of Boulder Parks and Recreation Department is not 100% responsible for providing tennis courts, and it's not 100% responsible for providing pickleball courts. But what we need to understand is what their niche is, what their role is, what the contribution level to what we call level of service provision needs to be. Because we fully recognize that It is going to take a village. It is going to take private, public, nonprofit partnerships to ultimately leverage the community to meeting a level of service. But it never, in any community, it is not on every, on any taxpayer dollar agency to provide that. So again, just very quickly, there's a lot of small words on the screen. Our path forward is where are we today? Where are we going? But more importantly, how do we get there? We want to ensure three things come out of this plan in addition to what Ali said. That's realistic, that it's implementable, and that it's financially sustainable. Those are three very important components to ensuring that this plan reflects your vision and your priorities. But as Ali said, there's no chance that this plan will reflect and be able to accomplish everything that everybody wants. But that's why we want to try to prioritize all of this and really understand how you want to experience tennis, how you want to experience pickleball in the community. Next slide. So just a component of this is going to be best practice standards and market analysis. So I just wanted to share with you some numbers. Next slide. So let me couch this very quickly. Our data source that we use and is used referenced even by, you know, USTA, Pickleball Association, so on and so forth, is the 2023 Sport and Fitness Industry Association report. So what you see here are the top, from left to right, the top five sports in the country in terms of participation. So what you see is basketball is number one, golf is number two, tennis is number three, golf venue, meaning top golf, putt-putt courses, standalone driving ranges, all of anything in which you can do golf in which you're not actually playing golf, that has tees and fairways and bunkers and roughs and greens. Baseball is number four, and pickleball is probably somewhere around number 10. But I wanted to include this because, of course, I want to speak about growth. Tennis had relatively been flatlined prior to COVID, somewhere around 17.5 million people for an extended period of time. However, since COVID, and in particular over the last 5 years, tennis has grown by 33.4%. Pickleball has grown by 185.7%. So before you get all crazy about those numbers, let's talk about that in terms of real people, right? Because if tennis is starting at 17.5 million, next slide, and its 33% growth is about 6 million more people are playing tennis than they were 5 years ago. Pickleball, the 185%, almost 186% growth, is reflective of 6.8 million additional people playing this sport. And so, of course, it's all math, but I want to make sure we understand that in essence, over a five-year period, pickleball and tennis are growing at about the same rate. Pickleball definitely a little bit faster, but in terms of adding numbers of people that are actually playing the sport, that they're about the same. But there is still about 2.5 more tennis players than there are pickleball players. But I think that's a fair assumption to state that simply tennis has been around longer, right? I mean, pickleball has not been around hundreds of years like tennis has. Next slide. So community engagement. So before I jump into too much of the components of community engagement, this is one component. Over the last couple of days, we have talked with a number of individuals. I think almost everybody that I talked with is in the room today. But I also want to make sure that you understand that the City of Boulder Parks and Recreation has been engaging you in this conversation. maybe not this specifically, but they have been listening to you. And they have reflected this in such a way that they're doing this court setting. They're not ignoring. So a couple of things that we know, and I just want to say it, show of hands. How many people in this room believe that there should be dedicated pickleball courts and dedicated tennis courts in this community? Everybody. Okay. So I think that's a fairly safe given and a fairly safe recommendation that is going to be made, that there will need to be in the future dedicated pickleball courts and an appropriate mix of dedicated tennis courts. That does not mean that there will not be some courts in the system that have some sort of shared use like is going on now. But I want to make sure that we understand that. We also recognize that there are different users for each sport. So earlier I talked about experience. How many people in this room just play tennis and or pickleball for fun? Just to play fun and exercise and get some exercise.
And winning.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going. How many people play this to play, to learn and get better at the sport? Okay. How many people play this to participate in leagues and tournaments and win? Okay. So not everybody raised their hand for those specific, all those specific experiences. And this is where some of the challenge starts to come into play when we talk about providing an appropriate mix of pickleball and tennis. It's also understanding that pickleball players have different expectations for how they want to play pickleball. What do they want to get out of it? The same thing with tennis. And so as we go forward, it's not just about the number of courts. It's not just about the location of the courts. It's not just about how many courts we put in any one location. It is about understanding how you want to experience, what you want to get out of tennis, what you want to get out of pickleball, that at the end of the day really drive all of those things that I just mentioned. So it's not just this straightforward linear approach to determining all of those how many's and locations and where's and all that good stuff. So the other thing I want to make sure that we understand as we go forward is that you are a community that will continue to grow in population. So even if pickleball and tennis do not continue to grow in population, there's going to need to be planning to accommodate additional tennis and pickleball players just because of community growth. That said, I want to see a show of hands of how many people in this room have an understanding of how many tennis and pickleball players there are going to be in 5 years. Okay, actually, I saw somebody raise their hand, which is crazy, right? Here's the one thing that we know, and I think everybody that I've talked with and doing this work throughout the country can agree, pickleball is here to stay. Yep. It is not a fad. It is not an emerging sport. It is a growing sport. What we don't know about pickleball is what it looks like in 5 to 10 years, because it's still an emerging sport. It's still growing at a rate that is phenomenal compared to where so many of the other mainstream sports that we know about in America are. We don't know what that plateau is. So part of this is starting to understand as we use trend information, trying to project it going forward. It's a big challenge. And I think you all have to appreciate that and respect that. You know, The numbers that we're going to come up with are going to be based on data. They're going to be based on research. They're going to be based on trends. But at the same time, we still, none of us in this room, there's nobody that has a crystal ball. I asked this question, and I'll speak to this just specifically about pickleball. But everybody is aware that there's a Little League Association, right? And that there's youth soccer, and that there's youth tennis programs. Do we know in 10 years if there's going to be a youth pickleball association in Boulder? We don't know. But we also didn't know that about soccer in the 1970s. We didn't know that about so many other sports and how they changed over the last 10 to 15 years. So I want to make sure everybody understands that there are some certain assumptions that we're going to have to make, that as a community, as a part of this process, that we're going to have some consensus around. We may not necessarily agree with everything, but we are going to have to make some assumptions where the data just does not allow us to make concrete, linear, algorithmic, mathematic decisions. Okay, is that a fair assumption? Okay, all right. So we are going to go forward with community engagement. And some of what we've heard is simply a matter of through the focus groups, through the trend information. But one of the big things, and at 5 o'clock, and I think the survey had only been put out there as of like a couple of hours, we'd already had, and this sounds small number, we've already had 34 people complete the survey. And that was without really a whole lot of advertising. That was just email going out that Charlotte sent out this afternoon. So next slide. The questionnaire is here. It is this QR code. You can pull up your phone and scan it right now if you don't already have a link in your email. It also is going to be on all the boards at the back of the room, and it's also at that web link. Here's the thing. It is open for 2 weeks. As Allie mentioned, we are trying to create a certain set of recommendations by the end of December. So what we want is a sense of urgency. But we want as many people to take this one time as possible. In other words, we don't want you to stuff the ballot box. We want you to share it with as many people as you want. But we want every individual in this room to just take it one time. I don't want you to go into another computer and taking it from there. I don't want you going to the library and taking it from there. Let's be realistic about this, and let's be fair, and let's be honest. So please share the information, but take the survey individually one time. Fair?
Fair.
Thank you. Okay. So another component is needs assessment and inventory. As Allie mentioned, a huge deliverable here is to really understand the condition of the courts and understand our path forward, as Boulder has committed to. This is a huge departure from how they have maintained courts. They are going to renovate and construct new courts using what is called post-tension concrete. Yay. No more asphalt. No more patchwork. No more resurfacing and then having it be a mess in 6 months. So that is something they have already committed to. But part of our role is to just affirm that the path forward that they have for the current system, which will show of hands, how many people think the City of Boulder's court system as a whole is great? How many people think it's okay? All right. How many people think it's, I won't go there. You will have an opportunity to say that on the survey. So anyway, I think it's important to recognize that in advance of this study being done, the city is taking proactive best practice measures to improve the system that exists today within the resources that they have. Next slide. So concept plans. We are not just going to create a report with a bunch of words and a bunch of charts and a bunch of graphs. We are going to create concept plans. We are going to create visuals. But I want to make sure that we understand the ground rules around the concept plan. It is a test bit. It's an idea of what could happen. So I will give you an example. East Boulder currently has, in addition to the handball courts that double as practice tennis courts, it has 4 tennis courts and it has 1 multi-use court. There is a potential plan there. The city has been talking about since 2021, if not sooner, to add dedicated pickleball courts there. What we need to figure out is, number one, is that the best place for pickleball courts? And then number two, what does that look like? How does that change the park? Because you know that if you've been to East Boulder, on one side is the road, another side is the handball, on the other side is the parking lot, and then behind it, from the opposite side of the street, is the sand volleyball courts. Okay, so the only way that you can really expand that is you're going to have to displace something. Part of our role in going through concept plans is understanding what works. We have to recognize that they are very, very flexible, and it's what could happen, but not will what will happen. What a concept plan does not do is it does not get into what we would call civil engineering. It does not get into understanding infrastructure. It does not get into understanding what I would call water issues, drainage, roadways, all of that good stuff. But it will create, next slide, it will create examples of what's viable and what's not viable. So this is actually from a project that we did in Texas, and it was looking at an existing location that we thought already had tennis courts and pickleball courts. And they wanted to determine whether or not it was something that was viable, that if they could expand it on that specific site. The answer basically was that it wasn't, because all of these kind of different things were evaluated to give you an understanding of what could possibly happen or what couldn't happen. Next slide. This is an example of what is possible or viable. But would it end up being this exact configuration? No, because it's just, it's a picture, right? It is not a construction drawing. Anybody's ever built a house or renovated their yard, it's a little bit more complicated than just doing this picture. So these are things that we will talk about. These are things that will be generated. These are things that will be shared with you. These are things that we want to make sure you understand that is a deliverable and an outcome of this plan, along with cost estimates associated with it. So, of course, we always, as a government entity, have to look at things through what we call a total cost of ownership. So those that are not familiar with government financing, there is a capital improvement fund, and then there's an annual operation fund. Those two don't mix. You build something with capital funds. You operate them with annual, year over year, what we call annual operating budgets. In addition to the capital improvements that will come out of this, we need to ensure that there's financial operational sustainability. And I'll give you a really, really, really good example. We just need to make sure that the courts are maintained as best as they possibly can be day in and day out. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to build something that's brand new and have it feel like in a year that it's 5 years old. That's the maintenance aspect of it. So there's always, on anything that you build, anything that you improve, there's an operational impact. And so we need to make sure that we understand what that balance is so that we can continue to create within the resources that are available the highest possible experience as it relates to tennis and pickleball for everybody in this room and everybody that plays that's not here. So our next steps, Ally kind of nailed this, but these are kind of the two milestones. We have recommendations and priorities coming in December. And then in spring, we're going to end up with a final plan and taking it to the Park and Recreation Advisory Board. That said, in on certain dates and times that are yet to be determined, we will be bringing back to you in this kind of forum. We are going to be bringing back to you recommendations, priorities. We'll be bringing back to you the concept plans, the funding, and all of this will happen before we develop a final plan and before it gets adopted by the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. We anticipate two more of these meetings. Are you guys up for that? Okay. So at this point, I think I'm going to turn it back over to Charlotte. But hey, thank you much for bearing with me as we go through this. It's going to be a very involved process, but we really appreciate your turnout here tonight. We really appreciate your input because at the end of the day, this is about you. This is about your experiences in creating a court system. And I say that in all seriousness, it's a system of tennis and pickleball courts that help to meet your needs. So thank you much.
Thank you so much, Mike. And thank you all for bearing with us, especially those of you who are standing. This is the part where I'm just going to explain before we break up and have staff stationed around the room to talk with you and answer some of these questions that, again, you will also find on the online questionnaire, but feel free to also answer them tonight in person with the dots that I'm going to hand out. So we're going to ask about, we're going to have one station that is, what are the most important services for pickleball to you? We have some suggestions on the board, so that's what you'll use your dots to vote for the ones that are most important to you. Same thing for pickleball amenities, same thing for tennis services, same thing for tennis amenities. So find those stations that are set up in the living room right now. We have pickleball on this west side and we have tennis on the east side, those two stations. Of course, for those of you who are here for both or want to weigh in on both, please feel free to do so. And again, feel free to fill out the online questionnaire afterwards. So the next slide is just, I'll leave this up because these are the logistics in case you have any questions about them. And I will mention that we will have Mike and Ally Rhodes up here at the front. So if you have process questions and more general plan questions that you'd like to ask them, please feel free to circle through the front in addition to the lunchroom. And staff at the stations and the front will have comment cards. You probably saw them at the front desk as well. So if you have some extra pieces, this is kind of the box on the online questionnaire that says anything else you'd like to tell me. Feel free to write it down in a comment card so we can make sure to remember it and put it into our spreadsheets and count it as part of this feedback. So, okay, without further ado, thank you all so much.
Thank you all.